Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Do you collect beer-related items or maybe other collectibles? Maybe you've got some antiques around you want to know the value of. Tell you what, there's a kind of collection. It's called Brewery Anna. And so we'll start talking about that today. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. My guest, Shirley Bauman. Shirley is a certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She owns Bauman Auction Services and also owns Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. So we'll talk about beer-related collectibles, which ones have value and which ones don't, and take your collectible questions as we move along. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can also post your photo, maybe, of your collectible on our Ideas Network Facebook page. That sometimes often helps a little bit, at least, in determining the value of the property. And there we go. Shirley Bauman, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I got to tell you, my father-in-law has, I think, he and his wife have been married 50-some years, and every year at Christmas time, he buys the Budweiser mug, which is a Christmas collection, might have the horses on it or whatever, and gives her one of those mugs. And they've saved all the boxes over the years. Is there any value to that?
Well, there is a bit of a value, but probably less than we would hope for. The thing about those mugs and other things like it is that they were mass-produced.
Yeah.
Even though they say they're a limited edition, what's limited? 10,000? 100,000? A million? And so it takes a while for, you know, a lot of those to be broken and gone before the remaining ones have any value. However, there are often a few of them that stand out. It might be a special anniversary edition or one that's just more appealing aesthetically than some of the others. And so they will collect and become
a
little
bucks.
Bit more valuable than some of the others.
I was thinking about my own collections, of which I don't have any anymore, but the one that I really liked a lot was the Hams beer. It was backlit, and it was the water would kind of move. A canoeist would go by. There was a waterfall, a tent, and so forth. That was really pretty.
Yes, those were the days when they made great-looking signs.
Yeah.
And those are valuable. Hams beer signs, especially with the moving waters, the canoeists, the Hams bear. That sign today might be in the $600-$800 range in excellent condition.
Wow. Well, I don't have it anymore. Of course,
well,
I wouldn't.
Let's hope someone else is enjoying it.
let's hope so as well. So, what items are considered Brewery Anna?
Well, anything related to beer is really that category, and it could be the signs, like we talked about, cans, bottles, labels, beer trays, even the tap heads. Have some value, less so than some of the other things, but the figural ones in that category really stand out. Let's say it was a mermaid or something. Those would stand out more than just something with the logo of the beer company on. In this world of collectibles, in the industry, what they say is most valuable is called pre-pro.
Pre-pro.
Pre-prohibition.
Okay.
So those old things that were issued before prohibition are what a lot of the serious collectors look for.
So they'd pay some good money for
something. Oh, yes. I myself have sold at auction one beer can for $962.
Oh!
Right
was
here
it
in
full
Madison.
Yet? Was it full?
It was not. It was never filled. That particular beer can was made for a small brewery in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, called Ziegler's Brewery. And the brewery went defunct and yet had some cans that they'd never used. So it was pristine, never filled, a defunct small brewery, and that's what it went for.
$960.
Yeah, it ended up going down to Chicago.
Wow. So there's some value there. What, and of course, that would obviously make that a very valuable can.
It is, but it's not among the most valuable. If you look, you can look today on eBay sold listings for beer cans, antique beer cans, and you can find them in the $2,000-$3,000 range.
Ooh.
And those, again, are the rare cans, and they're usually those in that value range are cone top cans. That's where the can itself looks like a standard beer can, but the top looks like an inverted funnel. And then it would be closed with a standard beer cap like you'd see on a bottle today. So those cone tops are collectible, but they're not the only ones that have value. Some flat tops also can have value, especially the steel prohibition cans.
Wow.
Or pre-prohibition.
Well, Maria in La Crosse has something for us that relates to this, so let's go there. Hi, Maria.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
I have, my husband and I are downsizing, and I'm trying to get him to get rid of these cans that we've had since 1994. It is the Badger Wisconsin Rose Bowl, and it's a four-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon filled.
And it's from which Rose Bowl?
The 1994.
Okay. Well, again, those aren't real valuable cans, but they certainly could be to some Packer fan, especially someone who might have gone to the Rose Bowl that year, or you know, knew somebody who played on the team, had some personal connection that way. Now, how do you find that person is always hard. Maybe Craigslist. Down in the Madison area, Craigslist maybe, the bigger cities, and advertise it as the Badger collectibles. What would be the value of that? I'm not really up on it. I don't think it's going to be too large a value because it hasn't been that long yet.
10 or 20 bucks maybe, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go, Maria. You had to had a question about coin collections as well?
Yeah, I did. I have an extensive coin collection that I would like to get rid of some of them. And I know that might not be your area, but I was looking to see if there was someone that you can direct me to. They are not all graded, so it's, mm-hmm. it's a lot of work for somebody to go through.
Yeah. You're right in that coins are not really my area. It's a very specialized area, and there's so much to know. And when I get coins in an estate, I go to someone else for help. I don't recall what area you're from.
La Crosse.
La Crosse. You might go to and look and follow a little bit what auctioneers in your area sell coins at auction. And see if you think they're, you know, doing well and getting nice prices at auction, because then they could take the collection for you and sell it on your behalf. When you do that, you're on the same side of the table as the seller, so the more they sell it for, the more both of you make. So unlike where if you'd go to an individual to sell it, they're going to try and negotiate with you to get a lower price so that they can get the best deal that they can. So that's how I would do it if I wanted to sell a collection of coins.
All right. There you go. Thanks, Maria. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's take Nancy in Milwaukee next. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning to you. I have a heavily carved walnut box about 12 inches by 8 inches by 6 inches. Actually, under glass on the lid is a sign saying, John Jameson Irish Whiskey, sign of good taste for 200 years. And when you open up the lid of this box, it plays Old Danny Boy. And this is a box that was meant to evidently hold originally two containers of this Irish whiskey. That's why it's so large. And I'm very attracted to boxes of all kinds. I have them made out of alabaster and steel and wood and tin, and ivory, every thing imaginable. But this one particularly appealed to me because it has this beautiful pictorial display underneath the word John Jameson of what looks like some of some little Irish town. And I'm wondering if this has any value at all. I fully intend to collect, continue collecting boxes because they're very appealing to me.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that you're collecting something that's very appealing to you, because that's the way I like to see things, that you enjoy them, and I'm sure they're displayed in your home rather than someone who's collecting something thinking they're going to be valuable and packing it away. So that's great. It sounds to me like that whiskey box you mentioned from the Jameson whiskey was something they did for their 200th anniversary. And I don't know when that company started, but if you could probably look that up on the internet and find out the year that box was made, then we'll look at their anniversary date from, you know, their 200th anniversary. I would think that box does have value. It sounds to me like it was something that was specially made for that anniversary. And from the description, I don't think they would have made, you know, really mass-produced those, because it sounds pretty special. You can probably go on the internet and search for Jameson Whiskey 200th Anniversary Carved Box and maybe find something that way.
Yeah. That makes good sense. Thanks for calling, Nancy. Appreciate it. And Teresa in Elkhorn, your turn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have eight their glasses from Germanfest, from Germany, from back in 72, 74 with the German logos. Is there any value placed on them?
Well, that's a hard collectible, too. The mugs and steins, yours would be mugs, because a beer stein is always covered. An open one is a mug. So I don't think that would have particularly high value at this time, you know, maybe in the $20, $25 range each, because they're starting to get into the, you know, collectible and vintage era. From as the age that they are, but again, they're made to be sort of a souvenir item, and those don't usually hold a lot of value.
Okay, there we go. Thank you so much for calling, Shirley Bauman, our guest, talking collectibles and antiques with her. We've looked a little at Brewery Anna, but we'll take other questions as well. Mike and Lacrosse coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our producer, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at collectibles and antiques today, zeroed in a little bit on brewery type collectibles and beer collectibles, but we'll take other questions as well. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest Shirley Bauman. She owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Mike in La Crosse, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Say, back in the 80s, well, thanks for taking my call first. But
sure.
In the early 80s, my parents and I, we used to go to a lot of auctions, and we got to know a lot of the auctioneers. And I started collecting cookie jars. I'm wondering if there's and I'm like the lady with the boxes. I display them all over the house. I'm wondering if that's a good thing to collect or if I'm just throwing my money out the door.
Well, from what you described, I remember that era very well, and the cookie jars were very hot collectible. And Shawnee and a lot of those kind of companies made figural cookie jars like Little Red Riding Hood and the Smiley Pig and all of those. And they were going for really high prices, and I'm talking about $200 to even $800 for a very special cookie jar. And when you're talking about those jars in the collecting world, you know, Puss in Boots, the cat, The collectors would look for one with a cat over the boots or gold in this spot and that kind of thing. So there were really particular things they were looking for. But the value of those has gone down. They're about half in value what they were from back in the heyday, sorry to say. But, you know, things do come around again. And I wouldn't be surprised if someday they do come back. But those that were going in the 200 range might be, you know, 85 or 100 now.
Yeah, still some value there, though.
Still some value, sure.
Yeah. So
enjoy them.
Yeah, enjoy them and hang on to the mic. Thanks for calling. Well, Wayne and Lodi, it's your turn now. Wayne, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Shirley. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I recently inherited a bunch of stuff from a household from a lady. I helped clean it out. And anyways, I've got a Pearpoint Corporation, July 1907, puffy boudoir lamp. It's got spider base on it. Does have a crack in the back of it, but to just kind of describe it, it's got flowers on it and butterflies in each corner of it. And all the research I've done, it is an original. It's not a repro. Just wondering what's something like that worth in the condition with the crack.
The crack is in the shade?
Is in the shade, and I was told that it could be repaired. There's somebody down in Joliet, Illinois, that does lampshade repair like that.
That's a tough thing on repair of glass, but maybe they can now. I'd be kind of scared to do that myself. Depends on how big it is. Just to give the listeners an idea, the Pearpoint puffy lamp, the shades are very bulbous, maybe. They're not flat. The flowers are not impressed the other way. What do you call it? Embossed into the shade. So you touch it, it's not flat. It's very puffy, as they say. And I assume that the base you're talking about is bronze or brass, metal of some sort?
Yep.
Size, of course, makes a difference in the colors and everything, so I can't give you exact value, but a lot of those lamps can be in the $500 range, give or take. The crack, if it's, I don't know if it's all the way through, if it's long or short, but that would make a difference. But that's where, you know, you want to start looking. Those lamps do have value, and again, they're not quite as much as they were. That era of things isn't the most popular in the collector's world today. But the Pearpoint is a good name, and people still do collect those puffy shades.
There we go. Good luck. Thanks a lot, Wayne, for calling. Tim in Rusk County, it's your turn. Hi, Tim.
Hey, hi. Good morning. I inherited about 20 beer steins of all sizes, from liter, half liter, on down to the little minis. A lot of them are pre-World War II. They were my grandma's and her mother's and father's and stuff like that. What's the best place, or where is a place to go to try to get those evaluated?
Well, you know, we always like to encourage you to go to an appraiser to do that, because they have the research ability to look at what they've been selling for. And some of the auctioneers in the area are also accredited appraisers. So you can consider those people and check in the antique shops to see if they know of people. Now, the steins, the question about them, again, steins are covered, mugs are open. If they're made for souvenir use, they're not carrying a whole lot of value, probably $100 and under. If they're actual steins that were used in Germany or made for use, and someone was there and they brought them home with them, that's a different story. Metlock is a good name in the Stein category, and they have a really interesting incised design or style of design that makes them very interesting. And they're often in the gray base clay color with then maybe some enamel decoration on them. But the ones that we see often that are in the yellows and blues that we think of the typical German souvenir stein don't necessarily carry a whole lot of value anymore.
Yeah. There we go. Thanks, Tim, for calling. Scott in Winona, Minnesota, it's your turn now. Hi, Scott.
Hi there, Larry. Thank you. And Shirley, thank you for having me on the air. I'm actually calling to promote a couple of things. Number one is, if people do not know about it, the in Potosi, Wisconsin, the American Brewery Association has established that there's a brewery there, Potosi Beer, and they have established that as the National Beer Museum. It is really, really neat. So I'd encourage people to go down and check that out. And in addition, I volunteer with the Winona County Historical Society, and in mid-August of this year until mid-January, we are on the main floor of our museum here. We are going to have a display of the history of brewing in Winona, and we've got some really cool stuff that's going to be on display.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yes, it does. I can tell you're an enthusiast, and I appreciate that very much. And Potosi is a great place to go. Take a, you know, summer day and drive down there. You can see a great museum and maybe cool off with a cold one.
Yeah. Back from my youth, I can remember good old Potosi.
You bet.
That was the name of the beer that they sold. Thanks. Winona, the history of brewing. So
very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you again for calling. Well, let's go to Tina in Delavan next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. What's on your mind today?
I've never been on a radio show before. My grandma gave me, these are back in the 50s, and they sat on the, as I picture it, because I was little, she worked in a restaurant, a steam table line, and it was in a bar, okay, and then the people came in and sat at the bar to get their lunch. And so anyways, but these sat on the back of a bar, kind of like I think where the mirror would be and all the bottles and stuff, and they were made out of plaster. They were all Pabst Blue Ribbon. There was a can, a bottle, and I believe a barrel. And they were all human caricatures. They had arms and legs and faces, and they were advertising Pabst Blue Ribbon. And I gave them to my brother, and I think he still has them. But and they were heavy. It was a real heavy, like advertising thing, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yes, I would. Go ahead.
And they were. I'm trying to picture. They're about as wide as a grocery bag that's sitting in front of me right now. but they were about as wide as a grocery bag, and about the top of the beer bottle, I believe, came up a little bit above the beer bottle, above the
normal
height of the grocery bag.
I've seen those before, and I know what you're talking about. And it was like the bottle and keg and such were the bodies of the clothes probably of these characters. And they probably were plaster or chalk, which was a common material they would use. And they are collectible because they're a known brand, they're a known advertising campaign. When you're talking about the size of a grocery bag, I haven't valued those exactly, but yes, I think they have value, and I would think they're in the several $100, maybe $250 to $400 would be my guess. And again, that would be as if they were in pristine condition, and that's always unknown when we're talking on the radio like this.
Yeah, so they would be some value. Where would she look to?
Well, again, I would start by Googling and looking at, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon 1950s. And what would you call those?
Marketing.
Advertising items, I guess.
Mm-hmm. There you go. give that a shot. Thanks, Tina, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paul in Little Suamico next. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Larry. Always enjoy your show. I've got some World War II era items. I've got some partial sheets of off-road fuel oil rationing stamps, a couple of Life magazines from 43 and 44. And I also have a, I believe it's a first grade reader, copyrighted 1924. I was just wondering if there's any value to any of these things. They've been laying around for years. I found them up in the attic when we had bought the house. There was an older gentleman that had built it, so.
Well, at this time, those items are not very valuable. When we go through estates, we often find those ration stamps just sitting in an envelope or a box. So there's a lot of them around, so they become not very valuable. Plus, people can't really do something with them, and they're hard to display. Those kind of magazines in good condition, with rare exceptions, usually go in about the $5, $6, $7 range. Because, again, people saved them, and they're not old enough yet. The ones that we really start seeing some value with are maybe the 1920s and older, 100 years or so and older.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's take another caller. Howard in Madison up next.
Hello.
Hi, Howard. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I have a collection of about 70-plus tin toys from back in the 30s and 40s, mostly Marx, but also Xian and Schuko, some German, some Japanese. And we're downsizing, and I'm wondering how to offload them. I'd like to do, like, find somebody who would just bulk come in, take a look, give me a bid, and I'd nod my head.
Well, that's an interesting challenge, to be honest. The value of those tin toys has gone down a little bit in the last years. We're kind of past the heyday right now on a slope down for value. However, there's still a lot of collectors of those. But because of that going down, finding someone who's going to be able to afford to give you a good price on that size, 70 or 75 pieces, that's can add up to a lot of money. You would have to find I'm not sure who would get it, a serious collector right now. A lot of the collectors would probably have some of the pieces you have, so they wouldn't want the entire collection. Those who might want to buy it would be dealers or auctioneers, that kind of thing, so that they could resell them, and then they'd have to buy them at a lower price. So if you're interested in doing that, I would look up some of the toy buyers, go to the antique shops in the area and get their list of dealers who buy toys, or contact a local auctioneer and see what they have to say about what they might give you. But in terms of getting top dollar, doing it in a grouping like that is not going to bring you top dollar.
Thanks, Howard, for calling. Appreciate it very much. Let's turn to Barbara in Mills County, Iowa. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am. We are a retired military family with the opportunity to live in Europe during the 1970s and the 80s. So I purchased Hummels in Germany and in BXs and PXs, and some of which have very sentimental attachments to me because of the children in them and my children. But otherwise, I just have quite a collection of those and Steinbach nutcrackers. I have one Hummel that goes back to the 40s or 50s as well that's been in the family. Do those hold any value anymore?
Well, the Hummel values really went down when internet collecting became a big thing, because they became so much more available. A lot of people brought them back from the war. They were easy souvenirs to bring back, and they were a cute thing to bring back for their girlfriends or mothers and that kind of thing. So we do see them in around World War II after one of the this they became available. One of the soldiers became the when he was discharged became the American representative for Hummel. So right now they're not holding their value, unless they're the very large and unusual ones. And very large, again, that's subjective, but I'm talking like 8, 10 inches and larger, but there are some rare ones that are as tall as 5 feet.
Wow.
So those are the kinds, the rare and unusual ones that hold value. Those small ones, keep them for your sentimental reasons and enjoy them. They're going, you know, maybe in the $25, $35 range now, where they went for hundreds before.
There we go. Barbara, thank you for calling. William and Frederick emailed to say the Frederick Historical Society has a couple of 1930s homemade models of Charles Lindbergh's Spirit of St. Louis airplane built by local high school students. He'd like to think this event was the moon landing of an earlier generation and maybe regarded with the same enthusiasm. Without having the ability to buy models of the airplane, apparently kids made their own. Are they fairly common? He's never seen one on Antiques Roadshow, for example.
Well, I've never seen one either. It sounds very interesting. I think your society has a very good... Oh, I see them now in the pictures. Very nice collection there. I'm not familiar with them. Like I said, I've never seen them. I suspect they do have value. Exactly what they are, I don't know. They look like they're maybe about 12-inch wingspan or so. Boy, I would think all the aviation things seem to hold value. And since they're the Lindbergh...
Yeah, they could have some value,
and I just can't give you a number right now because I'm not familiar with it. But I think I definitely would hold on to them and try to do a little bit of research again. And I think you've got something special. And if you've got a collection of Lindbergh items, I think this would be a really nice addition to it.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to, well, let's see, who's up next? Robert in Casco. Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be a tough question also, I'm afraid. I was in the early 80s, and the Milwaukee Brewers were in the World Series. Some way or other, I did attend all the ball games, but some way or other, I ended up with two unused World Series tickets.
Oh.
I know. I don't know how that happened, but I have what I have. The two unused Milwaukee Brewers. They played at County Stadium at the time. Unused World Series tickets. Now I know that's a difficult question, but I guess just kind of looking for some kind of a ballpark figure, or
sure,
if they're worth anything.
Yeah, good pun there with a ballpark figure. It's something special. People do collect World Series things, and people do go after particular ball teams that they, you know, support. And, of course, in Wisconsin, we've got Brewers fans, and we don't get to the World Series all that often. So what can I say? I've seen some other tickets go in the $100 to $125 range a piece. not sure. That wouldn't surprise me in that kind of range value, if they're not bent or torn, or you know, if they've got to be in good condition to go for that kind of, you know, $100 to $150 price tag. And you know, you'd have to find a real someone who is collecting from all the World Series, and so they want something from that one as well, and they don't have it, or someone who's just an avid Brewers collector.
There's on Facebook, there's something that is diehard Brewers fans. You could go online and find that.
Great.
And I would go there and shoot a photo of what you've got and post that up there. And you may well...
They'll tell you what you have and maybe get an offer or two.
You might get an offer right there, Robert. Good luck. Thanks for calling. Maurice in Elgin, Illinois, it's your turn. Hi, Maurice.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Larry, what I have is a Greenbelt Beer original poster. This is called The Girl in the Barley Field. And this was issued in the late 30s, and my family got it in about 1940. It was a mass-produced poster and distributed, but after distribution, there were a lot of comments from the public claiming it was very suggestive, and the distributors reclaimed the posters. I do have an original. It was reproduced in 1975, and you can tell the difference because the 1975 has an explanation on the bottom and also advertising on the back. I have an original that has been in the family since then, thanks to my uncle, and I'm wondering what the value of that original would be.
Well, that's a really nice... it's not there. It's a really nice item that you have there. And it's really interesting what... I just got a glimpse of that on the internet here and what people then used to think was suggestive compared to what it is now. Grain Belt, of course, is still a beer that's around. Looks like a really nice poster if you've got good color on it. The thing about posters is that a lot of them get torn, thrown away, whatever, over the years. So if you've got one that's remained in good condition all that time, you probably have something great. What the reproduction of it sounds like it shouldn't have diminished the value. Sometimes when they reproduce them, it's hard to tell the reproduction from the original, but there is a difference, as you described. So that shouldn't have brought the value down. I'm thinking a value in, and I don't know the size of your poster, but, you know, I'm thinking it's maybe a handbill-sized kind of thing.
Yeah, the poster is about 20 by 32 inches.
Oh, so that's a little bit bigger than I thought. Yeah, I would say you'll have something, and it could be in the... in great shape, maybe, you know, boy, I've not, again, valued that exactly, but I would think that you could be in the 600 to 1,000 range there if it's really good. And again, finding the specific collector. But I don't think there are many of those that have, that remain from that era because of being the paper product.
So you got something that's worth, that has some value, Marie. So take a look around and see what you can come up with. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Shirley Bauman, our guest today, certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She owns Bauman Auction Services, and she also owns Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Shirley Bauman of Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services, talking collectibles and antiques, a bit about Brewery Anna, or antique collection of things related to beer, but going all over the map here with our guest today. So looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Give a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And let's go back to our phone. Sally in Middleton is up next.
Thank you very much. I just need logistical answers. I have a very important statuary by John Rogers in New York, and it's called Coming to the Parsons. It's almost 2 feet high and about a foot and a half wide. It's charming. It's just poignant. I've had it. We've had it for maybe 50 years, and I'm up there in age. And I'm just, do I just write a letter to the Chicago Historical Museum, or how would I go about? Is next month I'm dead on the floor, and people walk in the house, and my daughter is interested in it, but she lives out in Spokane, Washington. Now, there's the logistics overwhelming. I do have a clue of any suggestion to whom I might help by writing now.
And you're trying to get this appraised?
Yes.
Okay. I would contact the Chicago Art Institute and ask them for recommendations of who could value and authenticate your piece. A general appraiser who isn't an expert in your particular artist or medium could tell you if it is authentic, this is the value. But an appraiser is not necessarily an authenticator. So with something that you think is of museum quality, you want to make sure you get it authenticated and then valued. The museum might authenticate it, but they won't value it because that's a conflict of interest for them, because perhaps they might want to acquire it. And somebody who values it should not be buying it because of the conflict of interest. So contact them, tell them that's what you want, an authentication and an appraisal, and see if they can give you referrals and contact information.
So that'd be the
Chicago Art Institute.
Chicago Art Institute. There you go, Sally. Good luck. Thank you for calling. We turn to Jackie in Sussex next. Hi, Jackie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. We have a painting that was done by Laurencia Bembenek, and I'm wondering where can we take it to find out if it's worth something, and then how would we sell it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. you're close to the Milwaukee area, and I know there are art appraisers there. If you can look for art appraisal in Milwaukee, you will find someone who is qualified to do that, or you could go to the websites for the Appraisal Society of America, the American Appraisal Association, or the International Society of Appraiser, and look for Art Appraisers Milwaukee on those sites, and you should be able to find someone. I think that will have local history and interest. I'm not sure that that's of a nationwide interest. But locally, there might be some in the Milwaukee area, and they can help you with that value and then give you some suggestions on selling it.
All right. Good luck, Jackie. Thank you for calling. Marilyn in Delavan, your turn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, my father went to the Atlas Brewery after work one day and had a beer, and the brewery burnt down. My father, got up and left and took his chair with him. The brewery burnt down. There's no brewery anymore. It was on Fullerton Avenue in Chicago, and my father took the chair and came home. I was a teenager. It was in the 40s, and we have the chair. So.
So the bar was on fire, and he just took the chair out during the fire?
The Atlas Brewery.
Oh, the brewery. I'm sorry.
They had a little beer, like a little beer garden or something you could sit in. And the brewery burnt down to the ground, and we have the chair.
Tell me about the chair. Is there anything about it that says Atlas Brewery or has any kind of brewery insignia?
It has an A on it. And the front of the chair, there's carved an A,
okay,
which is like in a circle. And then the back of the chair, as I remember now, I gave it to my son. The back of the chair is kind of carved like an A. It has a rounded top, and it kind of comes down into the seat. And it's oak, and you can see the grain of it is very distinct, and it's heavy. Heavy as a
Well, it's oak, so it's heavy.
Heavy and old, and he took it in a fire.
It's got square legs, and it's always been a chair. I mean, it's always been from the Atlas Brewery, he said.
Yeah. Here's the thing that'll give it some value. It's if that's the actual logo of the brewery that's carved in it, that could be identified and connected to that particular brewery. That's what will give it its value. I'm not familiar with that brewery. Obviously, it burned down before my time. But if the Brewery-ana collectors are familiar with that particular brewery, or they can, you know, trace that back, that logo back to that was one that the company was using, then your chair would have value. If not, if it's just a standard A in there, then it's probably just the value of a chair of that era, which could be maybe $100 now if you're talking and that's a guess without seeing the chair. But it could be that with, if it's a really nice old wood chair or less.
There's one of those that I think the story behind it, if it is an Atlas chair, the story behind it would add value to it. And, you know, she was her dad.
Absolutely. So. And that's what we call provenance in the business. Where did the chair come from and how did it get where it is today? And you certainly know that story. And that's, you know, for those of you who watch the Antiques Roadshow, that's what they love, to tell those stories about how something came to be where it is today. So, again, that would have value. And I think, you know, the National Brewery-ana Collectors might be a place to check on that. Or Illinois. Maybe there's a Chicago Collectors Club.
I was thinking back to, I think I was probably 22 years old sitting in a bar when it caught fire. And
did you take your chair?
No, we finished our beer, though, and then went out the door. Marilyn, that's a great story, too. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Prairie du Chien.
Hello?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Yep. And my question is, probably 40 years ago, I thought I wanted to collect matchbook covers. And I happened to be at an auction in or a garage sale in Moorefield, Minnesota, and bought a shoebox full of them. And I never, of course, matches went out, and I never really collected anymore, but I still have these. I have a bunch of old beer matchbook covers, like Michael's Elephant Brow, like from Lacrosse, some old Crow. Most of these are probably from the 20s to the 40s. Because it says person had collected them before, but I didn't know. I've looked online and different things, and most of them minimal value, I guess, from that standpoint. But if I ever decided to get rid of these, what would you recommend, I guess, or what you think? I mean, I got railroad ones. I've got coffee, a lot of old cars, things like that.
Here's what I would do. I would take them and divide them into categories. You said you have railroad. If you don't have a lot of railroad, maybe all transportation, all brewery and that kind of thing together. And then put them in auction that way, because people then they become a cross collectible. People who collect trains might want those because they collect trains, not just because they collect matchbook covers. So that's the way I do it. And if they're, you know, from your area, maybe you need to sell them in your area. Or if they're from Minneapolis, that's where you might go with them. For people who want to collect the local, you know, eateries and pubs and restaurants and things.
There you go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Nancy in Freeport, Illinois, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi, Nancy. What's on your mind?
I have a union sign. It is tin on the front and cardboard on the back. It measures 11 by 6, and it's a hotel and restaurant employees and bartenders international union. And then it goes on to give the secretary treasurer's name and the general president, I assume, of the unions. And
Well, you've hit on a nice collectible right now, which is advertising. It's advertising this particular union. All signs are of interest. I mean, if you ever watch the American Pickers show, they're always looking for signs right now. So you can be talking, you know, I assume you said 11 by 6. I don't know if you're talking inches or feet there, but you know, a large metal sign, you could be talking, you know, $50, or if it's really 11 feet, you might be talking $1,000.
There you go.
It's hard to say. Again, condition is important.
Shirley Bauman, our guest. We are going to take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back. You stay with us. Taking a look at collectibles and antiques today here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. So great to have her along. Thank you for listening. All of our lines are filled for the moment, so we'll go right back to the phones and to Fred in Shorewood. Fred, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have more than a few statuettes from Karen Studios, mostly from Tom Clark, and they're anywhere from 4 inches to 12 inches tall and 3 or 4 inches wide. They're animals and gnomes and whatnot.
Yeah. Wondering about the value of those.
Yes, if there's anybody that collects them or you heard about them or anything.
I'm not real familiar with them. Are they a more modern collectible? When did you collect them?
Yeah, mostly in the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Maybe the few of the 90s. The company, I don't think, is around anymore, but they were making quite a few of them. The company was down in North Carolina, but they were sold in most of the Midwest and Eastern states, at least.
I really am not familiar with them, so my feeling is they probably are not a major collectible. You might find some collectors because people like animals in general and that sort of thing. But my feeling is that it's probably not a major collectible because I'm not familiar with them.
All right, there we go. Steven emailed to ask if an upside-down Billy beer can has any value. The label is either on upside down or the pop top is on the bottom, and it's full.
I see. Well, that's interesting. Yes, it probably does. Anything that's a mistake like that usually has a little bit of collector value. The Billy beer cans never really took off like I think they were hoping they would. But one that has a mistake might have a little bit of value. I don't know if you'd put it on eBay. That would probably be a great place to try it because there might be somebody yet who is interested in that. And the mistake is just kind of fun. I don't think the can would be much more than, I don't know, I'm guessing $20, $25.
There we go. Laura in Superior, it's your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a wooden humpback trunk. It has wooden bent handles, and I think all of the original hardware. On the inside, there's a decal. It's in really poor shape, but most of it is red, white, and blue. There's some tan. One of the borders has like little cupids or penny dolls. And on the top, there's a bear in each of the scenes. Also a man. And the inside, it seems like there's two figures and a person on a horse, but...
this is all in that label?
That was gone.
That's all in that label, or is...
Yeah, it's okay. On the inside, in the humpback, when you open up the...
The top.
Yeah, it's hard to say if that label was original to the trunk or if someone put that in somewhere along the line over, you know, the last 100 years or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think that label has that, especially without a name with it that tells you what the product was that label is is promoting, whether it was actually the original to the trunk or not. Those kind of trunks, again, have gone down in value. They were humpback, the humpback ones, so that on the ship over to the U.S. when the immigrants brought them, the humpback ones would be on the top because they didn't couldn't be stacked on top of, like the flat top ones would be. They're running in about the $75, $85 range if it's in good condition.
All right. There we go, Laura. Thank you for calling. Carol in Brookfield, your turn.
Hello, Shirley.
Hi.
I have several items from my grandparents' tavern back in Milwaukee. And one of them is a square tavern table with pocket. And on the back bottom of the table, it has, in black painting, VB. My parents always told me that meant Val Blatt. We also have four chairs with the bent wood. I have a glass Western Club Rye whiskey sign from the John Barth Company of Milwaukee. Several glasses, coasters, napkins, and trays. Is this of any value?
Well, I think it is. What you want to do is make sure you indicate where these things came from. What was the name of the tavern? I'd, you know, tape a note on the bottom of the tavern table, putting that information on. Again, it's those stories that often keep things in families or make things interesting to collectors. The tavern table, those little pockets, that's where they'd put the beer glass when they were playing cards. So that would keep it from, you know, falling. Whether that really is Bell Blatt's, I don't know. It could be. It might not be. I don't mm-hmm. know. It depends on if you can actually trace the history of that table, where it came from. And if maybe her initials were distinctive in the way they were written, something like that, you'd have to know the provenance to be able to prove that. Otherwise, it's a tavern table. And depending on the table, the condition, and, you know, the history of where it was, if it was a very popular tavern that people would remember that had been around for generations or something, you know, the tavern table could be $75, it could be $500. It's hard to say. A lot of that depends on its provenance. That's why I want you to put what bar it was from and as much as information, you know. Signs, of course, the older signs are valuable. Advertising is hot right now. I don't know that your glasses separately would have value, but I think maybe the collection altogether, if you have trays and glasses and different things from the same bar, that might be of interest. And like I said, keep that information, the story about where they came from.
There we go. Thanks, Carol, for calling. And Carl in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Carl.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. I found an old wooden beer case from the Foxhead Brewery in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And I was just wondering if anything like that would have collectible value. I mean, I think they went out of business. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Foxhead Brewery was, like I said, from the Fox Valley. And that, again, has local interest. And, yes, those old wood beer cases do have some value, depending on condition and especially the condition of the printing on the sides and the crate itself, of course, if it's solid. And if it has a lid or if it's just open, makes a difference as well. A lot of the old ones had lids with little metal catches on to kind of keep them closed. With good writing on the sides, with good maybe dovetails on the corners of the box, a lid, you might be in the $100, $150 range.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, if everything's...
My great uncle worked for Foxhead. He tested the look of the beer as it came out, and then he'd sample it to make sure it was okay.
Well, that's somebody's dream job.
I guess so. Carl, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Dan and Colby, your turn. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Sorry, good afternoon, I should say. See, I made the mistake of stopping at a garage sale, and the thing, you could tell they had a bunch of, like, old gas pumps. but I had long since missed them. And on my way out, I noticed there was an eagle that was about maybe 35 inches tall. But I thought it was a concrete eagle, just a lawn ornament. And the lady's like, no, that's a white eagle gas mascot. And I was like, white eagle? Isn't it like the predecessor to Standard Oil? And she knocked on it, and it was cast. It wasn't concrete. It was cast aluminum. So I have no idea. I've heard of cast iron ones, but cast aluminum. And as far as where I bought it, the guy had nothing but older than dirt stuff there. Let alone I had missed out on the gas pumps because he had like four concrete bases for where his gas pumps were mounted. But the people that were having the sale, it was their dad's stuff, and they were in their 80s.
Okay.
So, any guess what something like that is worth?
Well, it's hard for me to tell from the description over the radio here. However, I can give you a little bit of information. The gasoline collectibles are hot right now. Especially what I would do is go and look for this eagle gas mascot, pictures of it. So that you could put that with your mascot, because then that will help people see what product it actually came from. Because to a lot of the uninitiated, they might just think, oh, that's an interesting eagle. So the idea of showing that it's an advertising eagle and where it's from will help. And from the, you sounds like it's a large size, fairly good size, but not so big that it couldn't be displayed. I would think, if you can connect it to that gasoline, that you do have something of value. And, I can't say, again, I don't know the condition and such, but cast aluminum, we have to look at, we could look at when was aluminum casting, when did that start, and see if that connects to the years that that gasoline was around. So that's one thing, one way to tell if it's really from the right era. To do that little bit of research on casting, aluminum casting. I suspect you're probably good on that, but I don't know that for sure. And then, you can be anywhere with that size of an eagle. People like eagles. You can be anywhere from, a couple hundred to a couple thousand, depending on, finding the right collector and, of course, connecting it to that product.
There we go. Good luck, Dan. Thank you. Irvin in Burnett, your turn. Hi, Irvin.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have an old clay beer bottle. It came from when we was building Pottawatomie Bingo down in Milwaukee. That used to be a dump ground. And it's about 8 inches tall. It's a cream-colored clay, and it's got a glob top to it. And it's embossed in the side with Leap's Gear and Berg. In the ribbon. And I was wondering what the value of something like that would be.
Can you say that name again of what it's embossed with?
Leap's Gear.
Leap's?
L-I-E-B-S-G-H-E-R. And Berg.
Huh.
Is that one of the, something that goes back, to our German heritage, or?
I imagine it would, because the clay beer bottle was no longer made after they once switched over to glass.
Right, right.
And so, both of them would be German, because that's about the only guys down in Milwaukee that made beer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might have something there. I was waiting for you to get around to a label or a identifier, because that's what's doing it. The clay bottles themselves with no embossing really don't bring any money. But with the embossing, what I do is research on that particular brewery, and that would help date it for you when that brewery was functioning in the Milwaukee area. And again, you dug it up, so it might not be in great condition, but that does have does affect the value if it's in good, really good condition, or if it has chips or cracks, or if you can't get some of the dirt off of it to show that label. I can't tell you the value offhand. Again, that research would have to be done as to when that brewery was around, how old that is, if people knew that, you know, if it was a brewery that was around maybe, you know, 6-7 years, people don't know about it. If it was something that was around a long time, people might have know more about it and want to collect that. You know, maybe you could even contact those people in Potosi at the museum and see if they have more interest in and information on that brewery.
Yeah, the beer museum in Potosi. Yeah. There you go. Good luck, Irvin. Thank you for calling. And we have Dave in Two Rivers next. Hi, Dave.
Hello. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks, Larry, for having me on.
Sure.
I've got a Kingsbury sign. It's a metal sign. It's 4.5 feet. I'm looking at this sign. It's 4.5 feet long and or high and 9 feet long. And it's a metal Kingsbury sign. And I know it was on our barn. We bought the property. And that was, and it's 60 years plus, probably closer to 70 years old. And it's in fairly good condition. And it's you can actually put a light on it. It reflects, the white part reflects.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Illuminates, you know.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that something like that would be worth.
Well, sounds like you have something that does carry some good value. When you said it was on the outside of the barn, I couldn't help but start thinking about rust on it. But you say it's in fairly good condition. If the letters are clear, if it's not real faded, in my memory, Kingsbury was bright red. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And a sign of that size, I mean, I would think you're in the, you know, hundreds, several hundred, maybe even, you know, again, 9 feet. That's a nice size. It's getting just to the point where it's hard to display. Because a lot of people don't want to give up 9 feet. Now, if you have a restaurant or a bar that might want that, you could be in the, you know, again, 4, 6, maybe even as much as $1,000, depending on who wants it and what condition it really is in.
There we go. Good luck, Dave. Thank you. Bob and Franklin, your turn.
Yeah, I have some Chinese items. That my stepfather's brother picked up before 1993. There's some artificial plants that appear to be made out of jade and other stones, and a bowl, a large bowl with Chinese writing on it. Is there a place I could take those to have them appraised, or...
Yes, you're, again, close to the Milwaukee area. I would look for those appraisers, as I said before, on the websites of the International Society of Appraisers, Appraisers Association of America, American Society of Appraisers, and look for appraiser of Asian art in the Milwaukee area. And I know there are some, and I just can't think of the names right now, but they're there. Actually, I think you might go to old episodes online of the Antiques Roadshow, and you'll find a gentleman there who did a lot of Asian arts on the show. And jade is, you know, high-quality jade is sought after. Chinese collectibles are sought after. They're really not my specialty, but that's where I'd look. And find somebody in your Milwaukee area who is a specialist in Asian arts.
And thanks again for calling. Shelley in Milwaukee asks, if you think the younger generation will collect as they get older, will values continue to go down because of this, if they do or don't?
Well, here's what's going on with the younger generation. They are now collecting mid-century modern. And we're talking about things from the 40s to even up to the 70s. If you look, they're going for teak furniture. They're going for the pink and aqua dinnerware in interesting, sleek shapes. They're going for the rocket collectibles, the rocket-shaped things from the space program. So their collecting is going to be different than it has been. They're going for different kinds of things. But that mid-century modern, especially in the furniture and lamps and that kind of thing, is really hot right now. So what people, I think, are going to continue to do is to collect their nostalgia. That's what they saw at their grandparents' house. So that's what they're collecting right now. And different things that come up. They might be collecting in the future things related to the beginning of the computer age, rather than, you know, what we collect, you know, today. So I do think there will be some collectibles. The difference with the millennials now, I hate to categorize, but a lot of them are much more mobile than previous generations. And so they don't like to be burdened with a lot of things. So I don't think they might collect as much. But what they do collect, they're going to be living with.
So my old Commodore PET computer, I have hung on to that?
I think so. I think so.
What else is out there right now that's collectible?
Well, as I said, advertising is hot, and that mid-century modern, and I'm talking all across the line. The people who get that furniture also want the accessories that go with it, the light fixtures and the dinnerware and things that come from that those vintages, that 60s, 50s, 60s era. But only mid-century modern. If you go into the mid-century and you've got a colonial design, they don't want that. It's got to be the modern design that was the 50s, the straight lines. If you think about that teak wood furniture, that gives you kind of an idea. And advertising for general collectors. Jewelry is always going to be hot because, I mean, it remains hot because people can wear it and use it.
Yeah. Well, Shirley, it's always a pleasure. You'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
I'd love to.
All right. She will be back. Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer, and she owns Bauman Auction Services and also Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. We'll do it again. It was a lot of fun. Tomorrow at 11, we'll be looking up to the sky with Jim Lattice from the Space Place. Also talk about upcoming programs and what's going on in the night sky. And then Jim Volkert will be back with us to talk about birds and answer your bird questions. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network.